Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. We're describing the material energy and her three forms. We should try, out of respect to the Bhagavatam, to come to programs on time. I know Prabhupada's giving a class today, and half the devotees didn't bother to show up at all. But at least if you're here, come on time. The class, Bhagavatam class in the morning, starts at 6:30. You know, it starts late every day because nobody's there. If the devotees are there, we can start on time. Okay, and this class starts at 9. Not at 9:10 or 9:15. Okay. Sarvagya Prabhu, you gave me a question last week that I forgot the question. I have it on my desk in the other place. What was the question?
So, I think Anushkeda 22. One second, I have to check. Yeah, 22.1, it was about creation of this world for the sake of living entities.
Oh, yes.
And ask it, because Krishna doesn't have his Janma Lila, for example, in the spiritual world. So what about, maybe one of the reasons of Krishna to create this world is for his sake also, to have these pastimes like Janma Lila and some other pastimes which are not present in the spiritual world. Yes. Not only for the sake of Jivas, but for the sake of Krishna as well.
Well, I don't think. Are we sure about this? That Krishna doesn't have any Janma Leela? What's the authority for that? That there is no Janma Leela in the spiritual world? Does Jiva Goswami say that? Does Prabhupada say that? I'm not denying it. I'm just trying to make sure. Yeah. He says Jiva Goswami. He gives the actual source. Can you check it? Could we trace that? Anyway, there. You know. Also, Krishna doesn't kill any demons in the spiritual world. If there wasn't a material world, there wouldn't be any demons to kill. There wouldn't be any. I don't know why there has to be demons. You know, there are demons. Why, if nobody's going to be envious against Krishna, then there's no need of a material world because there's no. But as far as. Okay, we'll see about the birth. Okay, that question still is on hold. I haven't answered it.
And also, there is nobody in the spiritual world to be compassionate with.
No preaching.
To save from the clutches of Maya. So, but it's only in the material world.
But if there was no Maya, then in that sense there wouldn't be need for preaching. If there's no need, then fine. I mean, do we have to have people in Maya just so we can preach to them? Does Krishna need someone in Maya so he can preach? I don't think Krishna needs anybody to be in Maya.
But anyway, maybe some pleasure is there to save them, which is not present in the spiritual world.
So. Yeah, okay, but I think that's sort of going around in a circle because that means you already have a material world, you have conditioned souls. I think if nobody was fallen, Krishna would be happy with that. But, okay, we'll check into this reference from Dr. Kapoor. And then there's one other question that's sitting on calm. Let me go back to it. Here, or maybe a few. Madan Mohan Prabhu, question from you on the 11th of March. I'll read your question. The Bhagavad Sandarbha 21.1 commentary says, thus to explain the experience of Ananda, there must be a special kind of variety even in Kaivalya. The personality of Godhead's internal potency provides this variety. Could you please elucidate on how exactly does the experience of Ananda logically necessitate variety? Mayavadis would perhaps object that our liberated state is Ananda in itself, and thus does not need any separate Ananda to tap into. Okay, liberation is Ananda, or you can say the absolute truth is Ananda. That's said in the Taittiriya Upanishad. He's Ananda. But our critique of the impersonal concept of Ananda is that Ananda is a kind of experience, kind of awareness. And in general, awareness really, in all real situations, awareness has a knower and a known. It's not just the knowledge, the jnana, or the Ananda, a special kind of jnana, all by itself, without a knower and a known. So that's what we're objecting to. So if there is Ananda, and if it's being experienced, there must be someone experiencing it, and it must be pleasure based on experiencing something. You know, it's a pleasure. Ananda is awareness with pleasure. Awareness with pleasure added. But what is the basis of pleasure if there's nothing being, that you're nothing aware of? There must be an object of the awareness. That there is no real situation in where there is awareness without one who is aware and something that he's aware of. Yes? Is that okay? Or you want to,
I just want to
answer that? Yeah.
Like taking the position of Mayavadi.
Yeah, please.
We know that Shakti of awareness, the energy of awareness of the soul, is directed both ways, externally and internally. So when it's directed internally and we feel pleasure from experiencing our own existence, then we don't really need anything else. And then Ananda, in that case, doesn't become a proof of a variety of variegated nature.
Is your existence
not mine,
an actual distinct entity? Is it astitvam? Is it, you know, if it is, that's a quality. So okay, you're experiencing bliss. You're feeling bliss from experiencing your astitvam. That's fine. But that is you, the knower, knowing something. The fact of your existence or the quality of your existence.
But then it would be...
That's variety right there. You have astitvam as distinguished from, you know, the opposite, the absence of astitvam. You're happy to exist. You're happier to be existing than to not be existing.
Well, that's what they are,
that's duality. There is a variety right there.
No, that's what they're arguing about. That's the only, you know, quality of the absolute truth.
But if it's the only quality, well, no, they won't admit that it's the only quality. They can't. They're not allowed to admit any qualities.
Sorry, I'm a lousy Mayavadi.
It's the sarupa. It's the very essence. It is the identity of the absolute truth. Ananda. You can't say he has Ananda. Then you've already slipped into duality. All the Mayavadis can say that he is Ananda, and that's it. There's no content to that Ananda. So where's the pleasure? You know, what's the difference between existing and non-existing? You're not allowed any contrast, any difference. So why bother to exist? You know, your Ananda is, you know, be just as good if you didn't exist.
Well, that's...
But your Ananda is empty anyway.
Well, that's not an argument, because...
Why do you call it Ananda, but there's no pleasure there? There can't be any pleasure because there's nothing there. It's empty.
No, why empty? We do exist. I do exist as the supreme absolute truth, and I experience Ananda in myself, and there's nothing else besides me. That's all. And that's Ananda. That's quite a happy experience to know that I exist eternally.
Okay, so why do you have to talk about it?
No. I don't. I'm just arguing about the... Yeah. I Mayavadi read your commentary on the Bhagavad Sandarbha, and I think that this argument is
okay,
false.
Okay, but the thing is, we just cannot, the Vaishnavas cannot tolerate allowing the Mayavadis to propose that there is sheer jnana, sheer ananda, without any knower and known. We just can't allow that. We can't grant you that much. Yeah, presuming that you can be happy with your sheer ananda, but we can't allow you to have it.
So we object on sheer dogmatic grounds, then, not on
dogmatic grounds. Yeah, that's our dogma. That if there is awareness, if there is any awareness, it's someone being aware of something. That's our dogma. Yes.
So there's no logical arguments. It's just state of facts here.
It's a presumption. It's an axiom. It's a logical. It's illogical, but it's our axiom. It's our first premise.
I think in the
you can make an axiom that you can have an experience without any non-dual experience in the literal extreme sense. That's your axiom. Mm-hmm. Neither one of us has proved anything by if A then B.
Like for instance, an example of when the soul experiences its own existence, then is there any difference between the soul and its consciousness in this case, and then its existence? Looks like in this case, knower and the known.
Is the soul's experiencing its existence? You say it's an experience of ananda, isn't?
No, just plain experience.
Just plain experience. Then this is plain jnana.
Well, I'm.
But the Upanishads call it ananda too. Then you're ignoring what the Upanishads say. Satyam jnanam anantam brahma. Satyam jnanam, that's jnana, okay. But ananda, it's also said that Brahman is ananda in the Upanishads. Okay, it's just jnana.
No, what is that, as a Mayavadi there?
Yes.
Is that if the very fact that I experience myself, forget about whether it's ananda or not, just the fact of experience doesn't mean that I'm different from my experience, because if the soul experiences its own existence, it doesn't make the soul as an object of experience different from the soul as a subject of experience. It's the same tattva, the same object, which becomes a subject at the same time. So if we throw ananda into it, then it doesn't make any difference in terms of logical necessitation, because ananda doesn't become different from my experience.
Okay, if such an existence of one, if there only was one real entity and nothing else, then you could logically argue by that. But that's contrary to fact. It is not a fact, it is not reality, that there's only one entity and that it has no variety. There are numerous entities and they all have variety. That's the fact. So your logic is okay, but you're not corresponding to the truth, the reality.
I have some more questions, but I don't want to hold the whole question.
Submit the other questions and we'll discuss them tomorrow morning.
And privately. So.
Write them down or send them by com. Then we continue. 22.7. Okay, we discussed... Yeah, we did point 6 yesterday. We were discussing about the material energy in the three forms of Gauri, Lakshmi, and Dara, or Durga, Shri, and Bhu, three aspects of the material energy. Which correspond to the Guna Maya, the Jiva Maya, and what else? And the... Amma Maya is pure spirit. Shri is the Jagatpalana Shakti. Okay, no, the Shri, Bhu, and Durga are all aspects of Gunamaya, I think. Jiva Maya, okay. But Shri is the energy that protects the creation. Bhu creates it, and Durga destroys it. But because this is all in relation to the jiva, this is called jiva maya. Okay, because it's all being done for the jiva. The guna maya is just the inert ingredients. Now we have the atma maya. The statement of the Mahasamhita simply said about the atma maya that it's atma maya tadit cha shat. The atma maya is the desire of the Supreme. Now we'll discuss that further, what this atma maya is. 22.7. Atma maya swarupa shaktihi. Atma maya is the Supreme's personal energy. It's not just desire. Desire is an upalakshana. It's his desire and more. Anyway, it's what it is, basically, is his internal, his personal superior energy. That's the Atma Maya. Why is it called Maya? Doesn't Maya mean the inferior energy? Don't we use the term Maya to distinguish the material energy? So that's justified by this statement. Miyate anayeti maya shabdena shakti matram api banyate. The word maya can also refer to any energy. According to the derivation of the word, construction is done miyate by means of it, anaya. Construction? I guess so. It's a funny word. Let me question that. Is that the right word? Anyway, construction or whatever it is done by it, and it's miyate is the Sanskrit. Miyate anena, anaya. So since construction or measurement is done by it, therefore it's called maya. That can refer to any kind of energy, including the spiritual energy of the Supreme Lord. So, continuing. No. There's a statement by Brahma. Tamyam tamovan niharam kadyotar chiri hahani Mahitara mayaishyam, mahatitara mayaishyam, nihandhyatmani yunjataha. This is from the 10th canto, 13th chapter, the Brahma Vimohana Leela. Brahma said, concurring with this is the statement of Brahma. Iti brahma vakyam tataiva sangachate. The statement is, as the darkness of snow on a dark night and the light of a glowworm in the light of day have no value, the mystic power, maya, of an inferior person who tries to use it against a person of great power is unable to accomplish anything. Instead, the power of that inferior person is diminished. I have a question. Is that actually Brahma talking? Let's check the verse. 10.13.45. I'll quickly look it up. 10.13.45. It's what? It's where? It looks like it's... in Sanchita Darsh, what's in it? Looks like, well, in 38, Krishna starts speaking.
44 says, thus the cosmos of Vrindavan mystified and cultivated Krishna in every mystified.
That's 44, so it's really Shukadev speaking. But Jiva Goswami is saying the Brahma Vakyam. Okay, I'll just make a note of that. Krishna. Okay. Shakti matrasya taratamyam hi tatra vivakshitam. The purpose of this statement is to describe the gradation of all kinds of energies. Talking about the mystic power of an inferior person is potentless, trying to be used against a person of greater power. That's description of how Brahma failed to defeat Krishna. Gradation of all kinds of energies. And the word Maya is used in the verse. Mahati, applied to a superior person, itara, Maya, or Mayaishyam, the power of Maya of another, of an inferior person applied to a superior person. And the word Maya is used there. Just as a general term to refer to the potency or energy of a person. Svalpa shakti kalav anvitasya satyasya va vyanjika bhavatu nama parabhavaya kalpate eveti hitatra gamyate drishtanta bhyam chatataiva prakatitam. The purpose of this statement is to describe the gradation of all kinds of energies. It can be inferred from the verse that irregardless of whether a lesser energy manifests something real, unreal, or real, it is inevitably defeated. This is made apparent, moreover, by the two analogies made by the statement, the first of which is that of dark color on a dark night. Dark color on a dark night. Tamyam tamovad. Tamovad, just like a dark color. Tamovad niharam. Niharam, nihara means fog. So a dark, foggy color. On a dark night. That's not going to dispel the darkness of the night. Some other dark color. And Kadyot Archir Ivahani, the light of a firefly is not going to defeat the light of the sun during the daytime. Darkness, if a dark cloud came during the day, that could defeat the brightness of the daylight. But it won't have any effect in the middle of the night, a dark cloud. Similarly, a glowworm isn't going to have much effect in the bright daylight. Okay. The second, so that the first analogy is mentioned here, the analogy of the dark cloud at night. Commentary. Those who understand Maya as a name of the Lord's power of illusion may become confused when his superior energy is also called Maya. The term has a more general meaning as well, however, which is supported by the grammatical process by which Maya is derived from the verb ma, to measure, arrange, build. Okay. Maya in the broadest sense means an agent of creation. Miyate anena. So you build or construct by means of it, it's called Maya. And because the word has a feminine ending, it refers to a Shakti, a female counterpart of the creator. Well, okay, if it's a descriptive term, why is it feminine? Because it's like an adjective referring to a feminine object, a feminine noun. It's Maya, measuring or creative, and it's modifying the word Shakti. So therefore, Maya is feminine. Of course, grammatically, it's a nityastri. It's actually a noun, and it doesn't have a male counterpart. But if you looked at it as an adjective, not that it is grammatically, but you can consider it derivationally, the meaning of it, not derivationally, but semantically, the meaning is being explained as that by which you construct or measure. that could be understood as a descriptive term. And because it is descriptive of the idea of Shakti, therefore it's feminine. That just allows us to use Maya to refer to the spiritual energy also. Any energy can be called Maya. 22.8. Tata yudheshu maya mayasya. Oh, then one more point. The inferior person can't defeat the potency of the superior person. Whether the inferior person is using illusion or real energy, it doesn't matter. He's going to be defeated even if he tries to use his real energy, because the real energy is less potent than the energy of the superior person. Now, 22.8. Tata yudheshu maya maya shastradina bahavash chinna binna jata iti purana adishu shuyate. We also hear from the Puranas and other scriptures that many have been cut to pieces in battle by weapons of maya. Well, if it was just make-believe maya, then their arms wouldn't actually get cut off. But we see arms and heads actually get cut off by weapons that are called Maya Shastras. So that must be some real potency called Maya. If it can actually cut someone's limbs off, it's real. Tatak sa cha maya mitya kalpika na bhavatiti gamyate. From this we draw the additional conclusion that the Maya under consideration is not a creator of illusion, not the Atma Maya. Is not a creator of illusion. See, the term here is mithya kalpika. The ka suffix is the agent suffix, kartari prayoga. We're not saying kalpita, not saying that she is talking about her being created by Maya, but by illusion, but that she's creating illusion, kalpika. And she's not. This Atma Maya doesn't create delusion. Nahi maru marichika jalena kechid ardra bhavantiti. No one ever becomes wet by the water of a mirage. Not if it's a mirage. If you get wet, it's real water. Surupa bhutaya nitya shaktya mayakya yutaha ato maya mayam vishnum pravadanti sanatanam iti chatur veda shikai akya shutis cha tatayva pravartate. Question here to myself. Is this an Upanishad? Do you know? Do you know what this Chaturveda Shikai is? No, okay. I can't tell what book this actually is. Not even sure if it's an Upanishad or not. But the statement is there. Chaturveda Shikha Kya Shruti is all the Jiva Goswami calls it. Speaking in the same way, the Shruti called Chatur Veda Shikha, the pigtail of the four Vedas, states, the Lord is joined by his eternal personal energy called Maya. Thus, those who know refer to him as everlasting Vishnu connected with Maya. Maya Maya Vishnu. We don't want to translate it that he's full of Maya or he's a product of Maya, but it says here, he's called, well, where is it? He's called Maya Maya Vishnu. But we'll take Maya here to mean having a connection with Maya. Because what it means, as explained in the first after the verse, that he's always yutaha, joined by, the tritya is used, but it's clarified by the participle yutaha. You know, it means he's joined by. What is the karaka for that? accompaniment? For Tritiya. Saharti Tritiya. That means accompanied by. So it's not that Maya potency turns him into an illusion. No, he's always joined by. He's always accompanied by his Maya. But what is called Maya is his Swarupa Bhuta Nitya Shakti, his innate, eternal energy, his spiritual energy. He's always conjoined by his spiritual energy. Therefore, he's called Maya Maya. Not full of Maya, not produced by Maya, but we'll translate it as always joined by his Maya, connected with Maya. Tatascha Atma Maya Taditcha Shat Ityatra Jnana Kriye Api Lakshyate. Atma Maya Taditcha Shat is back, that statement from the Mahasamhita. The third energy is Atma Maya, is his Icha. But, and thus also in the words, the Atma Maya is his desire. The energies of knowledge and action are also implied, since the functions of knowledge and action can be inferred from the illustrative reference to desire. Desire is mentioned, but he doesn't have only Icha Shakti, he also has Jnana Shakti and Kriya Shakti. They're implied by just saying Icha. Jnana Kriya Vrityur Apichopalakshitatva tepi grihyete Ata eva maya vayunam jnanam iti nigantau chapariyaya shabdaha. Thus nigantu list as synonyms maya, wisdom, and awareness. Nigantu is the actual shruti that Yaskamuni wrote his Nirukti to comment on. Niguntu is a list of Vedic terms that are difficult. And I think they're grouped together in categories, and there's lists of synonyms maybe. But it's the explanation is only given by Yaskamuni in his the book he wrote called the Nirukti. Nigantu is just a list. But there it lists these three words as synonyms: maya, wisdom, and awareness. And gunatmika tajnam cha vishnu shaktis tataiva cha maya shabdena banyante shabda tartar tatvarta vedi bihi iti shabda mahoda dao. And the Shabda Mahodati, which is a dictionary written later, states, according to those who know the science of words, Shabda Tattvarta Vedis, the word Maya refers to the energy of the material modes, to knowledge, and to the personal energy of Vishnu. Three different meanings of Maya. It means knowledge, Jnana. It means Gunatmika Maya, the energy of the material modes. It means Jnana, knowledge, and it means the personal energy of Vishnu, Vishnu Shaktis. Three different meanings given for Maya in the Shabda Mahodati. Okay, I have a note here. Wait a second. Oh. Commentary. The proponents of Mayavada are of the opinion that only the formless supreme is real in the full sense. All appearances with form and name, they say, must be more or less unreal. The inexplicable power of Maya somehow creates the illusion of duality, including everything from the personality of Godhead to the most mundane details of material existence. All the duality is mithya, unreal. The actual conclusion of the Vedic scriptures, however, is otherwise. As the acharyas of the Vaishnav schools affirm, Maya is the Supreme Lord's personal but inferior energy for material creation. Everything she produces is real, although temporary and subject to change. Those who witness the tricks of an empowered being's so-called magic may think it causeless or illusory, but only because they are ignorant of its subtle causes. Dreams and other mental experiences are also real on a different level. They are private and short-lived, but still they are not unreal. What we call illusion is simply the mistaking of one thing for another. Atma Maya was defined in the Mahasamhita as the Supreme Lord's desire. But of course, the Lord's spiritual potency comprises more than just desire. By his internal energy, the Lord not only desires, but also knows and is active. A good definition of a term should specify uniquely what the word refers to, but it does not have to say everything about the thing named. Cow, for example, the word cow, is properly defined as a four-legged animal with a dewlap on its neck. There's much more to say about cows, that they give milk, their excrement is purifying, and so on. But the definition as given is adequate to distinguish cows from other animals and everything else. Quote, the Lord's desire, that term, is similarly an adequate definition of Atma Maya, because that's nothing else comprises the Lord's desire. Material energy doesn't. The other energies don't, but the spiritual energy manifests the Lord's desire. But there's more to the spiritual energy than just that. The Nigantu is an ancient glossary of difficult words in the Vedas. It is considered a major text of the division of Vedangas, appendixes to the Vedas, known as Nirukta, etymology. Nirukta is the name of the Vedanga, of the genre, the group of literatures. The particular book written by Yaskamuni to explain the Nigantu is called Nirukti. It's a particular book, but Nirukta is the whole category of literature. Shabda Mahodadi is a Sanskrit dictionary, and I don't have the information who wrote it when, but I'd like to find that information. Okay, let's see if we can finish the Anuchid. 22.9. Trigunatmikatra jagat srishtyadi shakti. In this context, here, atra, the energy of the three modes, the gunatmika, maya, is that by which the creation and so on of the universe is effected. We were talking about that. Oh, boy. Okay. The energy of creation, maintenance, and destruction. Sa cha dvidet yuktam eva maya syat chambari buddhyoh iti trikanda sheshe. Maya dambe kripayam cha iti vishwa prakashe. That energy, moreover, that is the energy of the three modes, the gunamaya, is twofold, two aspects. As stated in the Trikanda Shesha, that's some dictionary. It may be a supplement to the Amarakosha? Because the Amarakosha has three khandhas, three parts. But I'm just guessing. I don't really know what this Trikhanda Shesha is. Somebody's dictionary. And it's stated there, Maya means either sorcery or intelligence. Shambhari or Chambhari or Buddhi. It's actually Shambhari. It becomes Cha by Sunday after the Cha. This is an often quoted statement. Jiva Goswami quotes it many times. Maya means either sorcery or intelligence. Sorcery, wizardry, magic. And in the Vishwa Prakasha dictionary, it stated Maya means deceit and mercy. Those are two meanings. Okay, well, the deceit energy, the sorcery energy, the energy that creates the illusion of the material world, that's Guna Maya. Vyakyatam cha tika kridbir ekadashe. Kalo mayamaye jive ityatra. So, in the 11th canto. The commentator on the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, that's Sridhar Swami, explains by the phrase, time merges back into the supreme living being who comprises maya. Kalo mayamaye jive. This is from the 12th canto, 11th canto, 24th chapter. Krishna is describing to Uddhava the process of annihilation, of the winding up of the universe. So Maya, when time merges back into Jiva, which is composed of Maya, or time merges back into the supreme living being, who comprises Maya, not the finite Jiva, but the supreme soul. And he comprises Maya. Now that's explained by Sridhar Swami as follows. Maya pravartake gyanamaye va. What does it mean that the Jiva or the Paramatma is Maya Maya? It doesn't mean he's made out of Maya. It means either Maya pravartake, I'll translate, time, this is Jiva Goswami, Sridhar Swami talking. Time merges back into the supreme living being who comprises Maya. He comments on that by saying that Maya Maye means the prime mover of Maya, or else he who comprises pure awareness. So Maya Pravartika, the impeller of Maya, that is Maya Maya. Or Maya means knowledge. And he's full of knowledge. That's the supreme part, the supreme soul. Then, Navame Doshmantir Atyagan Mayam Devanam Gurum Av Ayayau, which is the verse of the 9th canto. Doshmanti surpassed the Maya of the demigods and achieved the supreme spiritual master. Now that's explained by Sridhar Swami. Ityatra tika cha devanam api mayam vaibhavam iti. He went beyond the maya of the devas and then went to the supreme guru. So Sridhar Swami explains that this refers to also the maya or the opulence of the demigods. So here, Maya means opulence. He transcended the opulence of the demigods. He went above Swargaloka and went to Vaikuntha. So he didn't show any interest in going to Swargaloka. So Maya there means opulence. Or energy in general. To TAP, and in the 3rd canto, Apu param mudam ityadau yoga maya shabdena sanakadav ashtanga yoga prabhavam vyakhyaya parameshwari tu chitshakti vilaso vyakhyata. In the third words of the 3rd canto beginning, they perceived unprecedented happiness. That's the 4 Kumaras visiting Vaikuntha, seeing Narayan. They experienced unprecedented happiness. But then after that, in that section, in that next verse, the word yogamaya is there. That word yogamaya is explained by the commentary as meaning the power of Ashtanga yoga attained by Sanaka and the others. And when yogamaya is used in reference to the Supreme Lord, instead, it is explained as the sporting of his spiritual energy. Okay, I have a few minor things to make, changes to make here. Tatastri bedaiv atma mayeti siddham. It is established thus that the atma maya has three divisions. Okay, one second. I have a spelling mistake I have to mark. And a word missing. Let me just mark that one also. Okay, here's Sanaka and his brothers visiting Vaikuntha. And I think the commentary will give us the actual verses. And then we can figure out what's going on. No, I don't give it. Okay. Why not? Maybe I give it elsewhere. No, we're going to have to look them up then. Anyway, I'll read what I have. No, I won't read what I have in the commentary yet. Let's see. What's this verse? Apuparam mudam is... let's look at that section. 3:15:26. Okay. Tadvishra gurvadi kritam bhuvanaika vandyam. Divyam vichitra vibhudagriya vimana shochi. Apu param mudam. Apurvam upeta yoga maya balena munayas tadato vikuntam. I better read the translation to that. 3:15:26. Okay. Thus the great sages, Sanaka, Sanatana, Sanandana, and Sanatkumara, upon reaching the above-mentioned Vaikuntha in the spiritual world by dint of their mystic yoga performance, Yoga Maya Balena, it's probably translated following Jiva Goswami, probably picked it up from the Krama Sandarbha, which got it from the Bhagavata Sandarbha, it's in Sridhar Swami, sorry. Jiva Goswami is quoting Sridhar Swami. Sridhar Swami says that the Yoga Maya here means their mystic power. So that's how Prabhupada translated it. Sanaka, Sanatana, Sanandana, and Sanatkumara, upon reaching the above-mentioned Vaikuntha in the spiritual world, by dint of their mystic yoga performance, perceived unprecedented happiness. Okay, so that's the irrelevant part of the verse. So there, yoga maya means just their mystic power. Maya is just any energy, even a material energy. But yoga maya, when we talk about the Supreme Lord's yoga maya in various places in the Bhagavatam and elsewhere, we're talking about his chit shakti vilasa, the sporting of his spiritual energy. That's called yoga maya in reference to the Supreme Lord. So the word maya is versatile. It can refer to any kind of energy. Let me read the commentary here. The definition of maya cited from the Shabda Mahodadi uses the term gunatmika to refer to jiva maya rather than guna maya. That's right, because we said the energy that creates, maintains, and destroys, but that's the jiva maya. Bhu, Durga, and Sri. The active intelligence of Jiva Maya sets the elements of Guna Maya into action. Guna Maya provides the elements, but the active intelligence of the Jiva Maya portion of the material energy actually puts the elements, mixes the elements up, and actually creates the show of illusion for the jivas in the material world. And so, jiva maya can be called the efficient cause of the evolution of creation from the three modes. Guna maya produces the modes and the elements from the modes. Jiva maya creates the show of illusion, the material, all material creation for the jivas. As shown in the definitions given by the Trikanda Shesha and Vishvaprakasha dictionaries, this active maya has two influences on the finite souls, deception and enlightenment. That's also called vidya and avidya. Maya is the personal energy of the Supreme Lord, appearing in her spiritual form and her active and inert material forms. And because everything in the creation is produced from the Lord's maya, the derivative powers of sages and demigods are also sometimes called maya. Okay. There's actually a few more. There's two more parts, but we'll do that tomorrow. Okay. So we'll stop now. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jaya.